about history is that you can go back and study it. You can go back and find out if there were any other occasions where people did dumb stuff. And this administration has provided us an insight into the past, at least not on purpose, but it is doing that.
I first learned from news reports.
I first learned about it from the same news reports that I think most people learned about this.
The comments I made during this period, the comments made by my press secretary in my behalf, were based on the information provided to us at the time we made those comments.
Keep in mind, by the way, these so-called talking points that were prepared pretty much matched the assessments that I was receiving at that time.
All right, so it goes on and on and on. Some people are mistakenly thinking that, oh, we're comparing a Watergate to whatever Obama has done. That's not the point. The point is, it's remarkable what politicians say when they get caught. And it's remarkably this. It's just, well, there aren't that many new words in the lexicon, so they just have to dust off the old excuses. Well, James Bovard is a historian in his own right. People on the left and right don't like him, which means that he's doing a good job. Good morning, James. How you doing, sir?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
So you've really annoyed people on the entire rainbow of political spectrum.
Well, you know, I've certainly tried.
You would describe yourself as a generic libertarian, I'm thinking.
Well, you know, basically I've always tried to call myself a moderate, but most people, you know, say BS. So, you know, basically I'm libertarian on most issues, classical, liberal, libertarian, just very, very skeptical of politicians of all stripes and sizes.
So when you annoy the FBI and the Sierra Club, that's a good thing.
Good old Sierra Club, yeah. Sometimes those folks get kind of testy.
And the ACLU doesn't like you. So, I mean, wow, I aspire to that status.
Well, I'm sure you've got a long enemies list. I mean, I'm sure you've look, you know, talk to Mitt Romney, see what he says.
All right, so back to the article. You have a really interesting think piece in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago, A Brief History of the IRS Political Targeting. And this generation, because it is maybe just historically and chronologically separated from the previous one, won't recognize how familiar it is that presidents and administrations use the IRS to bludgeon their enemies. Give us a brief overview.
Well, this is something that the IRS has been involved in political scandals almost since the time the Internal Revenue Bureau was created. Franklin Roosevelt used the IRS to go after newspaper publishers, go after his critics, to go after Huey Long, a political opponent. And worst thing that FDR did was spike a tax audit that might have destroyed the career of Lyndon Johnson, who had gotten all kinds of shady money for one of his political campaigns. But FDR rescued him and, cursed America for the next three decades.
Now, wait a second. Now, that's an interesting chronology. Congress, Lyndon Johnson was a congressman while Roosevelt was still president?
Right. He was one of FDR's favorite congressmen because he was always doing deals and delivering votes and getting lots of pork. And
Landslide Lyndon.
Landslide Lyndon. Totally corrupt. I mean, he was corrupt as the day is long, and the news media had to work extra hard to put a halo over his head once he became president.
Well, Roosevelt went after the Rush Limbaugh of that era. He went after Father Coughlin.
Yeah, I don't know that Rush Limbaugh would like that comparison, but Father Coughlin was one of the most visible, was probably the most visible radio talker of the 1930s. Had some nasty ideas, but had a huge following, and FDR sent the IRS to take him down.
All right, and did he? Did he get taken down?
It certainly did some damage. I think that there were some other shifts in the times and historical developments to undermine Coughlin's appeal, certainly once the U.S. got involved in World War II. It's interesting. President John F. Kennedy took the political abuse of the IRS to a much higher level. He made it an art form. He was very explicit that he wanted the IRS to go after conservative groups. There was a huge effort by the FCC to go after conservative talk radio, especially Christian talk radio, that had been very critical of John F. Kennedy in his 1960 campaign. And John F. Kennedy's fingerprints were all over this. It wasn't like, well, it was some wayward bureaucrat. No, they were going after them with going after conservatives with a passion. And 5 years later, 5 years after Kennedy got assassinated, Nixon won the presidential election. And then Nixon greatly expanded the IRS meddling. I mean, just a quantum leap.
So Kennedy had a political ideological enemies list. Nixon
yes.
takes over, and he starts producing the same with the same impulse, including going after the right wing.
Yes, I mean the Nixon had a lot of targets, including the John Birch Society. A lot of conservative, there were a lot of conservatives who did not trust Nixon.
Yeah, we thought he was tricky before everybody else figured out he was tricky.
Well, that's true. But there was a special services staff which Nixon set up by his administration, which was trying to tie together all the IRS activities going after militants, subversives, radicals, and other similar troublemakers. More than 10,000 individual groups were targeted because of their political activism or slant between 1969 and 1973. That is vastly larger than anything that we've heard about either before or since.
All right, so then we move from Roosevelt, then Kennedy, and then Nixon. Well, Johnson didn't really need him because he had other ways of beating up.
Yeah, he was. My impression is that Johnson preferred to use the FBI. I mean, just to go after people directly with that.
Yeah, including he went after MLK using the FBI.
Very much, and lots of other folks. I mean, he had a much nastier record than people realized at the time.
And then you got Bill Clinton taking over, and in 1995, talk to us about that 331-page report.
In 1995, the White House and the Democratic National Committee put out a 330-page report entitled The Communication Stream of Conspiracy Commerce. And this attacked the magazines, think tanks, and other individuals and entities who had criticized President Clinton. This was 3 years before Hillary Clinton announced that there was a vast right-wing conspiracy going after Bill. So this report came out in 1995. In the subsequent years, more than 20 conservative organizations, including the Heritage Foundation and others, were targeted for audits. There was a big fight on that. Landmark Legal Foundation sued the IRS to get the papers that showed why it got audited, and looked like there was a lot of requests from members of Congress asking the IRS to go after certain groups. But what the IRS did was bury that. And it wasn't just Democrats. You know, there was a report, an AP report in 1999 that showed that there have been hundreds of cases of the White House and members of both parties of Congress who had prompted audits of their political opponents. This is the story which I think should have been the biggest IRS outrage of the 1990s. It got very little attention, partly because it was a bipartisan abuse. So, you know, people in Capitol Hill were not going to blow the whistle on themselves.
So this is an ancient rehearsal of what people in power do when they're in power. They torture their enemies. The church, this happened in the 1600s in England, the English Civil War. The Protestants would do this to Catholics. The Catholics would do it to the Protestants. The different families in the ruling class all over Europe used to use their powers to do exactly the same thing. You assume power and you start the pogroms would begin.
Right. Well, that's part of how my family ended up in America, because they were French Protestants, and all the French Protestants got killed or kicked out. So worked out very well for my family.
So you ended up in Louisiana?
Actually ended up in Ireland, and then ended up in Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. So
and then briefly in Iowa.
Briefly?
Well, yeah. My father was going to grad school in Ames.
Ah, okay, cool. Well, so back to the point here. What you left out Carter. Carter was not doing any of these bad things? How about Bush 1 and 2?
I think Carter and the Bushes probably did some things, but it did not rise to the level of being a national scandal. I mean, it was probably more piecemeal. It was not there was no one at the center pulling the strings. It's not clear that there was that much central control in the Clinton administration IRS abuses either, but there's a lot of evidence of abuses, but it does not fingerprints don't go all the way to the top on that.
Well, and this administration, the machine politics, Chicago-style politics, unleashed back to Nixonian levels.
Well, I don't know. We
don't know yet? What do we think?
Well, I mean, it's very strange to have the IRS chief going to the White House 118 times because there were not that many Easter egg rolls. But we don't know how high up this went yet. I mean, I hope that the members of Congress can do a decent investigation. I ain't holding my breath on that one. I think it'd be great to have a special counsel who had real gumption and could really dig into this. It's disappointing there's not been a bunch of subpoenas bombarding the IRS and the Obama administration already on this. It seems as if some of the congressmen are more concerned about getting their picture on TV than really finding the evidence. But it's certainly possible that this is easy. This could be easily the biggest tax scandal since Nixon. But
so what have we learned, James Bovard? I know you have to move on. So what have we learned out of this process? And I was watching one of the MSNBC stories. They're making fun of Senator Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, who both suggested maybe it's time to get rid of the IRS. And they were being ridiculed as nutballs and crazy people. The country would collapse if we got rid of the IRS because that means we'd have to change the tax system, and we can't do that. The country would collapse.
It's a very good idea to get rid of the income tax because the income tax as it now exists, it's incredibly onerous. It's incredibly counterproductive. It makes liars of a lot of people, and it also makes liars and intruders of a lot of government officials. It has a horrible effect on the nation's character.
What's left of it?
Yes, okay, well, all right. I was trying to have a positive spin since you say I'm surly and nasty. So, I was trying to end with an upswing.
Sorry. I didn't. James Bovard, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much.
And I'll put a link to your think piece, the history of all of this stuff, up on our podcast later. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
He's a really smart guy. I appreciate his expertise. Anyway, the rest of the morning, hey, we can do what we want. They left us in charge of a 50,000-watt radio station. What were they thinking?